forest along the way, then meadows with flowers. An oasis in Egypt is as lovely, but it is surrounded by desert. Periodically, on the side of the road, there were stone posts with numbers carved onto them to mark distances. By these milestones, I was able to know how much further it was to Rome. Now to mention something unpleasant. The river is foul. At this time of year, it is perhaps only 2 feet deep, flowing like brown oil, bringing from this city all types of disgusting things that float, bloody rags, onions and melons, broken pieces of furniture. A stench hovers in the air for miles. As we finally entered Rome late in the afternoon, I understood why. Houses and shops have been built along the banks of the Tiber, jutting out over the water. I saw women dumping who knows what from their windows. There is also a sewer pouring out into the river through a well-built stone arch. On the bank directly above this sewer is the Temple of Hercules Victor. I think worshippers must hold their nose when they present their offerings. Oh, I regret my complaints about the ocean, for at least it was clean. Will I sound too royal if I say that I miss the Nile, that I yearn to be near a living river?
Land, any land, is a welcome sight to Cleopatra after so many days and nights at sea. And imagine how the landscape of Rome compares to what she's used to seeing in Egypt. For Cleopatra, who's grown up in a dry, dusty desert, the green fields, vineyards, and forests must be refreshing to her. But it's funny how quickly her pleasure turns to disgust as soon as she gets a good look at and a good smell of the river. The garbage and sewage floating in it make her long for the clean ocean waves again and for Egypt's Nile River, which doesn't seem to have been polluted by the people living on its shores. Let's keep reading at the top of page 80. With the entry for 15 Maius.